conference with somebody back there. 103, we'll sing one day. We'll sing verses 2, 3, and 4. It's about the verses 2, 3, and 4. Yannis is here. Yes. Pick up verse 2 and we'll... Spirit, Lord, and with Him, I pray. Amen. Okay, one last song. Sing number 156. Go back for the beginning part of your hymnal. 156, and we'll sing this one. So, sing the first, second, and the fourth.
Born when the day is awaking, when sunshine is breaking, that Jesus will
century, people just sold their possessions and gave away things because they believed that Jesus was going to come back. And they literally gone to come back at a certain day. They were back, the second coming, visibly of their homes. Seventh-day Adventist. And the day after, it was tragic. People didn't have their job. They didn't have their farm. They lost everything. They were so devastated because they believed, truthfully, Jesus is going to come back, but
don't know when.
Right. We have patience, but we cannot really be sure. If someone, the father says, okay, son, it's time to go get your children, bring them up home, yeah, that's when it's going to come back.
Right.
And we believe, I believe since 1970, back in the 70s, the plants are going to line up, and, you know, it didn't happen out. There's a real fever about the Lord, and we got caught up in that as young Christians. We just have learned that you cannot set a date. You cannot use current events as indicators that Jesus is going to come back by a certain time. It's at best, it's reminders. So you want to be on visitation, and I got her information. I need to contact her. I took her picture. With her permission, I took your picture too, without your permission. When you see her, you won't spook her, so that you're not completely. She's leaving tomorrow, going back to Florida, and you folks have got an eye disease that is called, have to downgrade to a lower paying job, and being a white man,
good.
So you, that is seriously, especially you guys, he needs that. He will be getting some medical attention, and other than that, he needs more support. He needs time. You need to just know that. For us, we're going to have problems in this lifetime. Problems with all kinds of things. You cannot imagine problems with people who are sick, because the longer you live, the less problems there. You can face things better. You can look back in the history of God helping you, but you still have problems. So do not get discouraged because you have problems. Just Jesus Christ and His Word. Remember, in the end, University of Hawaii. First, I had my lawsuit against the lawyer outfit. So, what the judge said about the Marine Corps and violating the religious rights of active reserve status, really good. Those who were for, really good. That's one of the problems. That's one of the 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, I want you to see. My landing point is verse number 5. That 1 Thessalonians verse number 5 says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." Verse 7 says, "So that all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Now go back to chapter 1, verse number 1. Those two verses are what I would say the text for today. I'm going to work up to that, but you in our prayers. The reason I mentioned a couple of names to pray for and to have consideration for in your behavior toward people that loved each other, those who brought the gospel to them. Paul expressed his warmth and his heartfelt appreciation for them. But there was a mutual back and forth, a mutual, you know, kind of thing. That's very good. For a church, we are now, because of modern conveniences, we're so able. I got my phone over here. Why? Through every day, she does that faithfully. I talk with me, and I'm not. My phone is my constant computer right over you before you realize you're at them. It's a good thing. I'm not against devices and not get swallowed up. You hear what so the whole world's reacting to so and so somebody. You gotta be careful about that. But remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Someone has said, you know that somebody said, and this is what a New Testament Christian inhabits life eventually. I would not say these things show up immediately. But I would say these things about us as we grow together. If a man is growing, if a Christian is growing, there's Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3, etc. But if a man is not growing as a Christian, Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3 is not being done. You've got to have both. I mean, you can't have one without the other. If this is happening because it's growing, and if it's not happening, it's because he's not growing. It's got to be like that. It can't be any other way. The pattern is for saved people, they continue, they assemble together, they unite. And then other things, verses like verse number 4 say, they want to do something for Christ. It's just naturally they want to serve the Lord in some way. They're appreciated by serving the Lord. Now, true, as much as a baby cries, that's true. It's a woman does certain things. Now, don't look at me. Think she's not the guy doing this. You know, no, watch out, man. When a guy is looking at me like that, this is spooky when a man does that. But as you told Jim, you know what that means? Little things make you feel good. And when a woman, when a man has certain things said or not said about them, they don't know. And work is natural. It's natural. And can you think back? Can you think back to when you knew the Lord as your Savior for the first time and how you felt? I mean, really, you had feelings when you got saved. You felt something when you got saved. The day after, you felt something. Time went on. you that teach the Bible. There's an opportunity to do something. You sat to listen to that, and then you thought, hey, maybe I can do that or not. You felt desire, certain emotions. If you serve the Lord out of duty, that's something necessary. If nobody acknowledges you, I hate to confess to you, but I'll confess to you. Whenever I session, but we're also appreciative when someone, it's a necessity to have when you sew store-bought things. You got to have that surgery. Took both of us as precision machines to the grandkids, almost for the grandkids on the mainland. She makes, when she does childish for the age drawing she needs, that's all. A thank you from the grandkids. That's all she needs. Walmart, you know why? They're too expensive. In a card that costs $5.97 plus tax, I can make my own for 50 cents. And she liked it even better. And she loved to live for people. And so, if that she can do something for you, she's happy to do it. She's up late to do it. You need it ready to go. At the moment, it's a labor of love. The point is, she'll do it anyway because she just loves to do that. For loves you. Wife loves the ladies. And she'll do that because she just loves to do it. And she loves the people here in Thessalonica, our Lord. Look at verses 8, 9, and 10 of chapter 1. And for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Donia and Achaia, but your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak any. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols, to living and true God. Verse 10, heaven. So, not for Christ and for others, for they were waiting for the Lord. They just couldn't help it. They just couldn't keep quiet. They thought of others that needed the gospel as well. They received it. These Jews in the synagogue that Paul preached in 1 Corinthians 15, Acts 15, where the Thessalonian church was founded, they gospel. And then they had the formation, the nucleus of the Thessalonian from Paul. Went out. They just had to tell somebody else about Christ. They just had. It was natural to want to live for the Lord, serve the Lord, because you're the Lord, because they are saved too. They got saved. Now they. I heard a song by Kurt Kaiser. Brief correspondence with Kurt Kaiser about 20 years ago, and he gave her permission to get a song, Francis, get the lyrics of something. Anyway, it was a very gentleman type, you know, kind of. It was really nice, but he wrote a song. It's called "It Only Takes a Spark to Get a Fire Going," and soon all those around will warm up to its glowing. That's God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to explain. You want to pass it on. But it did reflect me as a young Christian. I just want to say, spark in them. They got a bonfire going on. That's what happened over here. And that's what this person said. You just think like that. And you wonder, you begin to silently pray, I think, in your mind and in your heart that, Lord, give me a chance to talk to this person about Jesus Christ, this world. And they want to tell someone else. They may not have it on. Do you, as a hippie, you dig? You dig? You dig me today? They say, you feel me? I don't want to feel you. Feel me. What kind of mumbo jumbo? You feel me? That's how some people say. You feel me? You understand what I feel? You understand what I mean? Why don't you just say it? Do you understand? That's more better. You feel me. Don't feel me. Leave me alone. Continue to turn to Christ in faith. Let the Lord work in your hearts and in the conscience. They can turn to God from idols, but that point, God is purging you to see that this is right and this is wrong, and then you begin to live a certain way that will please Him. And this is what they were doing. It is God which worketh in you both to of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. You know, you or not available in Hawaii. Christ, but it says not available in Hawaii or Alaska. Well, thanks. Why not? You ever, why a product's not available in Alaska and Hawaii? What's so special for Hawaii? I'm not really got the answer for that one. Maybe it's just sticking to something. A product that I want to buy, and it says not available in Hawaii, or it says discontinued. That is such as we're doing. They're doing, participating in certain, continually doing that. Besides, they did turn from that. And that's the life of a Christian until you die, until the rapture. Sorry. It's just natural. I had a very foul mouth when I got saved. Cuss words against whatever it was as a kid growing up. I was not aware of it. I was never a sailor, but I did cuss like one. Normal way of talking for me. One night,
after I got saved, we was going to Manawili area, not Manawili, but Kalani, Kilo Drive. I was in his car, he was driving, and I was came back to church. I got into my car, but help these people to. And I was with for Clint to pray. Next thing I do this, he said, "You're pray." He said, "But did you have that?" But once I became aware of that, I became very anymore. And next time somebody asked me to pray for them, I began to be real careful about that. I even began to say, so when I prayed, I wouldn't say what started. That was a lesson to learn. But realize certain things, I have to discontinue. And I hope that He will in your life to do better. Our nature tends to just, put in cruise control. And one act, it happens with subtly, we begin to go back and contradict you about certain things from the scriptures and from that you would discontinue. Paul often in life. I was talking to one of our visitors the other week. He was responding to something that was said by maybe somebody else or more. I said, "Yeah, they're all over. They steal shopping carts." I hope he wasn't going to cuss, but he was doing that. And he said, back home, they don't steal carts as much, but they sure act like they own the world. They feel like they are entitled. You think they're among seals. You know how to treat Hmong seals? As if they are entitled street people. And I have no feelings for the wild boar that's been attacked by a leopard. We have feelings for the alligator that's been attacked by a leopard too. There's no feel bad about that kind of stuff. Except, I cannot be stepped down the street. Now you might think, weak wagons, and his wagon at the corner of Vineyard, I'm staring at this guy. It's gone 10 seconds. Me. I'm thinking, whoa, buddy. That kind of attitude, that stinks. I say, you. All right? I'm done. I have hurt you. In your life, it's continuous events that hinder your spirit. When we do some stupid things as individuals, there's some entertainment things that we should not be looking at, that we should not participate in as far as activities. There's some we should not dress as. I'm talking about women. But it's just pretty foul. We'll be laughing at certain jokes. It's a lot of things. We should discontinue some things. I have a pet peeve, since I already confessed to you two things already. I have a pet peeve about how women who don't have any brains, any sense about how they dress in public. I must confess to you that it bothers me as a Christian, as a man, that women have no respect for men by the way they dress. Because you're dressed like you want me to look at you. I didn't dress to get your attention. About that. Now I will say that sometimes maybe because they're thoughtless or they haven't for sure in the entertainment industry, the dress in a provocative way, not a good thing. Good thing for boys to see, not a good thing for a married man to see. But fashion in the name of there's a thing called immodesty being upstairs. I don't wear shoes in my house, all right? That's how I dress them. But sometimes it's been so hot, hasn't it? Been so hot. There's no trade winds. It's really humid. Okay? I'm a man. I can take off my shirt if I want to in my own house, can't I? And there's a rule in my house. Why are you laughing? It's the one time sitting there minding my own business in my own house. And he stopped and stood. My scars are different from the one with my leg. The one over here is all smoothed out. This one here is kind of dull. Dermatologist said, "Oh, that's normal. Fought nothing." I said, "You guys get that kind of? It's normal. Don't worry about it." He's staring at my chest like this. In my own house, I have to be careful how you dress in home. That's not intrusive. I'm not like, I don't do that. I don't. Even if it was you, I don't care. But that's not my thing. See, I'm just thinking about how the Thessalonians, they continued to discontinue stuff. The Lord, and Paul says, "Well, you guys are two thumbs up." They were, Timothy, and then they were. However you put it does, but over a period of time, it shows, it's in 1 Thessalonians 2:2, he says this, "It is the gospel of God." The gospel of God. Look at verse number 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in,
all about him saying, I am responsible.
He doesn't mean it's his church. He doesn't own the church. To pastor, that's what he said. Minister, and a man says, this is my ministry. He's saying, I have to be a good steward of the ministry God gave to me. So I take ownership. So the gospel he's talking about is not for that he gave him to be a steward of. And so in verse number 5, power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Self, in Acts 11, with them, verse 21, and turn unto the Lord. Now, how did the people turn unto the Lord when they preached to the people? One, or it had to be the power of God that converted them to come over there with me. First Corinthians, that the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I, brethren, when I came, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ in crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching, that is the powerful enough to convert the soul, not the cleverness or feature of a publication, not the fancy words. He says it's the gospel itself that people need to hear. Something else is powerful that convinced the people that they need to receive. One, the gospel itself is the power of God and explain for them to get saved. Love, illustration, whatever. And they may be helpful. Give the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit convict the heart. Give the gospel. Let God know. That's all you do. And the Lord is the saving. But something else, I want to emphasize, something else convinced people, these Thessalonians, to get saved. Number 5. And in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you can, followers of us, to these something got them to say, I see it. I need Christ. I'm convinced. You know what those two factors were? It was the testimony of opinions. It was them knowing the manner of men, the Micah, that this guy, the gospel, I just feel like he's sincere. I just feel like this guy is truthful. I just feel like he's the real deal. I just feel like he's not a fake. He's not a salesman. I just feel like this guy is, and it's because that they were. And that backed up their life, backed up what they were saying. They were told they were all in because what they were saying sounded like, yes. But even more so because of the one telling me this. They were so convinced. This guy telling me the truth. Convinced. What convinced the gospel itself and the character deliverers of the message want to get saved? They became followers of us and been around people who had a good product of credibility or no credibility. And it makes you feel like... I used to go to Straub years ago. They had a program where you can come in. It wasn't to encourage people to get checkups. Went to Straub years ago, and then we got the lecture from the nurse about smoking, about drinking, lifestyle, and everything. You went through this test, and then before they dismiss you, they bring up these products as opulence and sign in. You know, you ever read the package of assignment? I said, I do. Notice how much salt is here? Grams? She said, that's a lot of salt. And then she brings out other products. She brings out soda, high fructose, corn syrup, and things. And she's trying to put the fear of God in you. These things are bad for you. Number one, she's actually, and she's telling me, this will give you bad health. Mm-hmm. I sure do. I walk, I'm done, I pay, I walk through the parking lot of Straub, come down, and on the way down somewhere, there's a little air. Here she is, beside, out in the open. You know what she's doing? She's sitting there eating potato chips, the very potato chips perhaps that has all the salt. She's eating with gusto. And then, between bites, she's smoking. I stop and I look and I say to myself, I just got to lecture her about how bad smoking is, how bad. And look what she's doing. I walk to my car. I'm thinking, okay, she's just an employee. Okay, she's just an employee. You see, all this conflict in my mind now. If this is good for me, it's good for you, bro. I mean, not bro. It's good for you, hippo. But apparently it's not. It's good for thee, but not for me. Well, I just couldn't take her message very seriously. Her testimony, her behavior, contradicted what she's telling me. When Paul told these people in Thessalonica the gospel, and they saw... a consistent testimony. I would use the word influence at that point because they were influenced. They were influenced. You know that it wasn't just preaching. For us today as Christians, it's not just knowing the truth, giving it out. It's especially in the context of when we see people all important, when people see us all the time. Just that's when it's even more important, but it is important. But more so in a even to consider listening to you or an invitation. I don't know the details, but he was a Christian. He wanted to invite his co-worker to come to church, at least visit church. He tried so hard to get him to come, but the guy was always, never committed. He was all, maybe when I have time. What, those kind of answers. And so this went on for a long time, months. One day after work, this guy went for the floor. You know, pens, paper clips. This guy goes there with his briefcase. He borrows paper clips. He borrows frame of paper. He borrows some paper, puts it in his briefcase. And there's a little glamour. You know who was watching him do that? Office supplies to go to church with him. The story goes, going to church with him. He's having family problems. He thought going to church might help him and his wife, but he saw that. And when he saw that, it reminds us that their behavior toward these Thessalonians was so consistent. They were model Christians, and that they didn't feel hidden the message, actually. Just some influence. Years ago, many immigrants came to the Irish community there. There's a young boy, 12 years old. This was his dream. Cops who walked their beat in that district, they were revered by the Irish people. And this little 12-year-old boy was so awed by policemen and union guys. He had polishing of shoes, shoe shine service. And shine the officer's shoes. He was so proud to shine, proud of a good job. And he did a good job. The officer got up, walked out. Are you here for a shoe shine? He said, okay. Then you're going to make me pay $10. You know his son. Pay the father $0.10. So sat down, the officer got up, walked out. On that day, the boy saw his father stand up to another man who did something wrong 3 weeks before. That so impressed him. Father stood up to someone of authority because he did him wrong, he made him do right. He paid like he's supposed to get paid. The officer paid him. He saw his father do that, and that one act, probably besides many other acts in his father's house, that one do something so brave, he got him shot by a fellow officer. He survived. He lived a long way. And he thought if he was a police officer, he was to do the right thing because his dad. And then it impressed this little boy about his corruption. He saw cops taking, I think it was like $80,000 an hour in a paper on it. His name was on it at the bottom. He would get $10,000 while others got $30,000, $40,000, like that. A large amount of name there. He saw the bills. He was raised in a home that taught him to have character and be honest. He went to his captain. Told the captain the story. Captain said, what is this? He said, this is money for these officers. My name's on here. I said, I'm not going to take this. What am I going to do? He looked at me and said, well, what are you? He says, you won't do anything. You just take the money, this people the money, end the story. This guy was stunned that the captain, who he thought some honesty about him, as he thought the harp did, the B cup all the way up. Well, that didn't stop this guy from blowing the whistle. This guy learned. One strong incident caused him to even a police officer. He didn't know how deep it was. He didn't influence. You know who that guy was, by the way? True story. He got all the way to Congress. This guy is a hero to some, but he's a rat to others who were guilty of dirty business. He was influenced. The Thessalonians were influenced. The testimony of the world is you cannot live this world in this lifetime in a compromising way. You have to be consistent as a Christian. Now, I'm not saying stand up to some authority and demand. I'm not saying in your normal routines, guilty of. High standard for a Christian. You use in your grandkids that make you. It was worth it. Try to be a culture talked about that type of Christian. You didn't take the easy way out, but you actually did the better thing. So that your kids, if they had been better than your own kids, they were raised even better than how you raise your own family. When you see that in your grandkids, you feel good. you think is worth it. Took her kids to church, and I didn't feel like going to church. All the times we had choices to make, we chose to do the right thing. All those things kind of added up into one big life of a grandkid. And then you realize it was totally worth it. It was totally worth it. So we tried to help the two boys. He went with me yesterday. And see Joseph, how he behaves himself, how he walks up to the doors, how he speaks up, how he does things like you. You have to tell them what's important to you. And if what's important to you is important to them, good. You got another minute? 1 minute? Evie, that was from, it was actually on the side of the road. We got that. We run that thing now. But we don't have cable. We have some subscription to things. And the kids love this. But not everybody's doing it because they get the humor, they get the slapstick stuff, that so-called violence. And so whenever we do that, my wife has to step around and she says, we're going to go through all these commercials, these ads for these different things. Oh, gee, these commercials and ads. So, yeah, you don't even see that. So we find what we're going to show them that's clean to watch. We're going to come out and come and watch that thing. What's that all about? Is it? You don't have to see some of these commercials and it's gross. Or it's about naked women. That's gross too. They don't need to see that. Watch the girls. Why should they be exposed to that kind of stuff? They go. And you know, for the smaller ones, the most fun thing for them as a treat is to see, what is it? It's some kind of bear thing. It's a little teaching morality kind of thing. It's stuff like that. That's a thrill for them. It's not a thrill for most kids today. They got to see something else to get a thrill. Their kids, it's because they've seen too much orange to the kids. But the kids, they are thrilled just to see something so innocent. It doesn't mean that they all see that to get a thrill. Go to the backyard to play is a thrill for them. That's weird. That's very weird. Not for a bike ride around the circle 3 times. That's a thrill for them. You know, we'll go ride in the circle 3 times. That's not fun. I'm going to go somewhere else and have fun. Go to Waikiki. Like, hey, why? Well, being consistent as someone who should be responsible and not cutting corners. Over here, boy, they were so appreciative of Paul and his group. Like those people, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's like those people. Let's and his group. Let's have that kind of a testimony for people's sake so that they will, because it's believable, because doing it is credible. All right? Last one. What's so long? He said Carmen because she's working all night. I once ran into a person on Channel 9 that he's admitted by another people who lived on air. I've told you this before. They had time to fill. And so, we live on air. We just said that they live in church or something. Went to 7-Eleven on New something, hot dog to eat on. I come in line and I see someone that I recognize. Who he was? He was that tall guy, soda, some cold cuts and things for cash. And a presentation, people would have believed him. Paul's not a hypocrite. Let us not be hypocrites. Help us to be strengthened by what we, these people who were consistent, so compelling what people want to see because of the life substance to them. It will show, it will come out. Help us, Father, to make good choices in the things that would compromise our testimony. Let's remember that we have influence on people, other acquaintances. And I believe that a big part, or maybe even going to church, or even coming to have a part in your decision, if they believe that the ones who tried to speak with them were at least sincere and not fakes. Help us, Lord, to be the real kind that people need to see, Paul and his companions. Amen.